Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
I see a church where the vision and the mission are clear, consistent, contagious, and progressive. I see a church that is Bible-based, Christ-centered, kingdom-minded, making disciples, and Holy Spirit empowered. A church that loves God by loving people and serves God by serving people. I see a church that is generously living and giving and is built on the sacrifices of many and not just a few. A church that counts the cost, pays the price, and preaches its best messages through what we do and not just by what we say. I see a church that becomes a growing spiritual family, a church where transformation not only comes to their generation, but positively alters the course of the generations to come.
And so there must be a change in your life. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. The child of God, a change has taken place. Oh, give your life to Jesus Christ and let him live in you and be a shining witness for Christ. Become salt in your community. Become a light in your community. Let the people know where you stand for Christ. The Bible teaches that the church is like a vine with its many branches. It's like living stones built together, members of the body of Christ all knit together.
Good morning. I feel a bit special today. There was a lovely post on Facebook this week about my husband Tim and myself, Tegan, bringing a word, and there was a lot of lovely messages and comments of encouragement. So thank you to everyone that left a message there. You don't see yourself the way others see you, so it's very nice to think those things as we come up here today. Yesterday I heard a song that reminded me of my walk with God, and I wish I could sing so I could share the tune with you, but that is definitely not my gift. But the words are, I like me better when I'm with you. And it really reminded me of my walk with God, because faith and scripture and everything is there, but ultimately it comes down to, I know my life is different when I'm with God compared to when I'm not. So I do like me better when I'm with God, but that also means that I like me better when I'm with you. So this is God's house, and we do this life together, and it's all of you that help me stay connected to God as well. So this series has got me thinking about my heart and my house in the natural, and they're both full of love and people I care for, all working together for something we believe about and care about. And it's the same as our spiritual house. I know Mark Waite drew a lot of similarities about our natural home and our spiritual house. So I have been connected to this house for 30 years. 30 years. So that's actually, you might think I got my maths wrong, but I haven't. My connection, or my journey with this house, started in War Road, in a building there opposite the cemetery, and it was known as the Assemblies of God, the AOG. In that time, there's a few here that were there then too. In that time, I've seen many name changes. So I spoke of AOG. Another one was Promise City, North Gate, Gateway Life, and there's been others too. But I followed the church from their move from War Road over to here, where we are now. When we first began services here, we didn't have the whole building, and it was still a dance school upstairs where the kids' church is. And at one season, the church established a branch out at Howlong, so that's where I grew up, and we supported that service for a little while. And then Mum brought my brother and I back into town because they knew the value of being around people our own age and being connected to the house. So that was good. There was a season as a young adult where I felt unrest in my church family. And Mum and I were discussing it. We sort of felt a bit of the same thing. We weren't sure what was happening in us, but we didn't feel that we should look elsewhere or anything. We didn't quite know what the feeling was. And then one day the pastor at the time said they could no longer conduct services in this building. And they said Northgate would be moving into this building. So it all made sense and all aligned that, you know, God was preparing us for what was to come. And we felt very blessed in that. So on Father's Day in September 2009, I did as I always did, and I walked into this church building for church. It was just now known as Gateway. Sorry, Northgate then. So I find it really incredible when I think of all the intricate things God has done to develop this church into what it is today. Like for the way he was preparing my heart, Mum's heart, dreams that Pastor Jason's girls have had, Rick and Fee, meeting the Mannerings, and God has just knitted so many little intricate things to make us where we are today, and that is just amazing. So I really love this house, and I love it when I walk in here on a Sunday morning. Sometimes I get here on time, tick, I did that today. Got heels on and a nice dress, and kids have got food, so they're going to be entertained, and we're here and we're ready to praise. But other days, I'm running late, children don't have their hair done, they've forgotten to brush their teeth, someone's turned up with only one shoe, but that doesn't matter because they take them off when they get here anyway. That's Tim. But you know, it doesn't matter because we get here. We get here. And before I leave, I've praised and worshipped God, heard scripture, and I've spoken to some great people. So when I think about times of great value and great relationship in my church home, it's come from times where I've really been well connected and serving in the house. So John 15:4, Jesus speaks about the branch needing to be connected to the vine to produce fruit. He instructs us to stay connected to him and we will produce fruit also. So one of the particular times where I was really well connected in church, I was serving on the kids' church team. I spent a lot of time with the kids' church pastor, and we attended a conference in Melbourne. We were pressing in every day and we'd really been talking a lot about speaking in tongues. And it was really that relationship with her and serving on that team that allowed me to experience the Holy Spirit in that way for the first time. So it was a really big part in my faith journey and turning around my love for God. It gave me great purpose and great relationships. And you know, I even had little kids, they'd draw pictures. One particular little girl drew a picture of me and said that she wants to be like me when she grows up. So now to see her, oh my gosh, she's so tall and she is in the house and she is loving God, and just the fruit of that is so amazing for that time. Yeah. So I've had seasons serving in different places in church, in the cafe, welcoming teams, cleaning teams, and I first served at the Howlong services on the overhead projector. So things have certainly changed since then. There has been times in my life where maybe I've been turning up to church, but maybe not so connected to church. My heart was not full of family and love, and I'd often feel empty. Sometimes those quiet moments were really hard, particularly Sunday afternoons, kind of when everyone was getting ready for work again and you're on your own and, you know, just a bit empty. I remember a particular time I was talking to Mum and someone had said something about me, And I got so angry. Like, I don't remember being that angry that many times in my life. Probably a little bit of the How Long Girl come out in me and my expression. I shouldn't give all How Long people a bad name, but it is a rep they have. There is plenty of good people there. But I was like, oh, I wish you would just say that to my face. Well, I'll tell you what, that's definitely not a response of love, is it? I definitely wasn't very well connected at the time. Now, the person I was saying that about, she didn't care. She'd probably already moved on, and I was only hurting myself. If I had been better connected to the body of Christ, I would have been bearing the fruit of the Spirit. So in Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23, it tells us about the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I find it hard not to break out into song with that because Rosie's school has one, and if I tried to do it, they'd say it so fast it's hard not to get tongue-tied anyway. So if I had been connected to God better and doing life with my church home better, I definitely would have had a different response. So I encourage you to get connected because you definitely will not regret it. You can make all the excuses you like. What will people think of me? I'm too tired. I'm too busy. People think I'm busy because I got 4 kids. But I think we're all busy these days. It's just for different reasons. But being busy is really just a lie. If there's something you're missing out on and something you're not doing, it's just not a priority in your life. So as I choose certain priorities in my life as a mum, certain relationships don't get the attention I would like to give them. For example, if you don't have a child that goes to school with my kids or does a sporting exercise with my kids, or you don't do the groceries at the same time as me, chances are it's pretty hard for me to do life with you. So one of the benefits of serving in the house is that I get to do life with great people. So for example, I'm looking at her now, Margie Grundy. I do feel a bit like I'm missing my sidekick today. If I did announcements without her, I would be so jumbled, mixed up, all over the place. She definitely keeps me on track. But I have a lot of love and appreciation for the Grundy crew. I think it sounds like they need their own theme song, the Grundy crew. And because I serve with Margie, it means that we are engaged in relationship and we prioritise that relationship and we get to do life with each other a bit better than we normally would because we serve together. So Margie and the Grundy crew, they are a great example of the fruit of being connected in the house. So thank you guys for being that example to all of us. Yes. Now, Margie, I'm sure one day I'll get back on that running track with you. But, you know, I do like running. I like a good fun run. And when I like to run, I like to put music in and block out my heavy breathing so I can't hear how hard I'm doing things. I also like to encourage other people. You know, someone might be finding it a bit hard, so I encourage them, or even people that have turned around. If it's an out and back track, they turn around and they're heading back to the finish line, and I like to encourage them. But it really takes the focus off myself, and I enjoy the run a lot better, and it seems like I get there faster. I get to the end quicker. I don't think I actually do, but it just seems like that. Now, it's like serving. If we focus on others, the race or the journey is a lot more enjoyable and we're not alone and we get to do life with great people. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." That is just another truth as to why we should be here serving together, doing life together. So, thanks for being my family. Thanks for doing life with me. And thanks for making me better when I'm with you. Now, my husband and I had lots of jokes this morning about him being better with, or me being better with him. But we're good together, aren't we?
We are. Thanks for being my wife. Thanks for staying in this house. So when this house moved into your house, I met you and life goes on and gets better and amazing things happen. Thank you, Tegan. Hello, church. Hello. I'll just get myself sorted. This series has been, this My House, My Heart, has, and when Jace asked us to speak, it really got me thinking and reflecting upon my journey over the last 17 years at this house. And not only the last 17 years, but also what God was doing pre that to soften my heart. Because the reality was, I had a little bit of a Catholic background, but there was no revelation of Christ or Christ being real. But I knew there was a hole in my heart. And I've said this before, you know, I really do believe there's a hole in everyone's heart that only God can fill. And I didn't know it was only God. I didn't know it was God that I was looking for. I did not know that. And you can try and fill it with other things, whether it be sport or activities or drugs or alcohol. You can try and fill it. But I really believe that only God can fill that. And my heart, in reality, looking back upon that time through my 20s and that, because it was probably late 20s when I got saved, when I walked into this house, and my heart was looking for a house. And I didn't probably even realise. And it was probably looking for a house for some time before it found a house. And how I managed to find this house was I was talking to a mate and I just said something about, I might start going to church. And he said, why don't you go and see Jason Mannering? He's just started a church. He's a good bloke. So I think I went back to the Catholic Church originally and I sat in the back row and I sat there and I thought, you know what? This doesn't feel like it's me, you know. I just didn't feel comfortable. And I thought, I might start going to one of those. I might go and have a look at one of them happy clapper churches. Exactly what I thought. And then I knew there was a happy clapper church around the corner from the church I was currently sitting in. But I might go and have a look at them happy clapper churches. They look happy when they walk out. Yeah, might give that a whirl. So then I was chatting to the mate and he suggested Jace. So I come along and Jace and I caught up for a coffee. And I come along, I enjoyed it. I liked him. And Jace said, let's go and have a coffee. So we caught up for a coffee down at the Reader's Cafe. And I remember Jace, we were chatting and we're getting along because we still get along well. We're getting along then, you know, life's good. And he said to me, well, Tim, God's got an amazing plan for your life. I'm, whoa, hey, steady up on the God stuff, mate. People know me here. You know, I'm looking around to think, you know, because having a little bit of a Catholic background, the only time you're seeing the priest was when you wanted to confess your sins or you're going to die. And I wasn't going to do either of those things. I wasn't up for either of those at that point. So here I am sitting here. So it was funny and interesting, but that was the start of my journey. And I started coming along spasmodically, you'd say, every now and then. And then it started to increase. And I stayed in church for 3 years before I got a revelation that Christ, Jesus was absolutely real. I was going to church 3 years. And I wanted that. I wanted to believe. But I just, it took me 3 years to get that revelation, you know. And I often think, what if I quit? What if I stopped coming at 2 years and 9 months? What if I stopped coming? I would not have got that breakthrough. And initially, I just thought, you know what, the message is good. It's practical. It's a good life message. So I thought it was good coaching, you know, on the journey. But 3 years later, and I often think, what if I quit? I wouldn't certainly be married to Teagues. That's for sure. And my life would have looked completely different had I stopped early. So I want to share with you a couple of 4 points that have really helped me on my journey over the last 17 years. And if you take notes, I suggest you do because this is good. And I can say that because it's... These are four good points, all right? Four good points. Because if you don't take notes or you don't take note of it, you'll forget. So then for... It might be good for now, but it'll be gone in 3 days' time. You won't remember a thing I said. 4 points. Number one, keep turning up. So 2 Corinthians 4:16, and in some Bibles, this paragraph is actually labelled, heading, seeing the invisible. This is actually labelled seeing the invisible. 2 Corinthians 4:16, 18. Ah, there it is. That is why we never give up. Through our body, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at troubles. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So number one, keep turning up, and I really love that, seeing the invisible. You've got to have a vision beyond what's going on right there. So keep turning up, see the invisible. Number two, keep good company. Keep good company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. And Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And regardless of what you think, you are who you hang around. So very, very important. Keep good company. Number three, keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. See, an example I like to give is, you know, you can't steer a parked car. If the car is parked, like you can turn that steering wheel as much as you like and look out the window, and if that car ain't moving, you haven't gone anywhere. You can yank on it as hard as you want the other way, and if that car is not moving, you have not achieved a thing. But if you are moving, you turn the steering wheel slightly. If you are moving, only if it's 5 kilometres an hour, at least you're starting to go somewhere in the direction you want to go. You cannot steer a parked car. So keep saying yes. This does come with a disclaimer, though. Keep saying yes to the things of God. You know, don't say yes to the wrong things. Be wise, act wisdom. And that is probably why point two is very important, keeping good company, wise counsel. Because if you're unsure, you're keeping good company, you can ask the people that you hang out with, hey, what do you think of this? They will keep you accountable and on track if you're keeping good company. And the greatest example I can possibly think of someone that kept saying yes, was Jesus. Like, you think about Jesus and the call on his life. And well, he just kept saying yes to God, didn't he? He just kept on saying yes. And one of the scriptures, Luke 22:42, the night before he was about to be crucified, he was scared, absolutely. Did he know it was coming? Absolutely. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. He asked God, do I have to do this? Is there another way, God? But then he backed it up and said, yet not my will, but yours. You know? So the greatest example, so every time you want to say no to something, think about what Jesus has done for us. Yeah, keep saying yes. John 3:16-17. A lot of scripture here, okay? You getting it? Is it okay? There's a story behind this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So keep saying yes to Jesus. Jesus come to save you and the world. It's a no-brainer. We just got to stay the course. And I remember my father's a racehorse trainer, and I love the races and I love horses and grew up in that world in the stable. And actually, one of our other elders' father was a racehorse trainer as well, Mark Waite. There you go. But and I remember at the races one day, and I seen Darren Beedman. And Darren Beedman, for those that aren't into the racing world, Darren Beedman was a gun jockey, and this was at the height of his career. He was, you know, one of Australia's leading jockeys. And I seen Darren Beedman, and I thought, I had a race book in my hand, and I thought, I'm going to go get his autograph. So I walked up to Darren Beeman and I said, hey, Darren, can I get your autograph? He said, sure, what's your name? I said, Tim. And he wrote on the race book, dear Tim, John 3:16, God bless, mate. Now, I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know what it meant. I got this race book and I'm looking at me, mate's going, my name's not John. What am I going to do? What am I supposed to do with this? One of my mates goes, I think it's something out of the Bible. John's, so I had to go and research, and that was before I had Google on my phone. We didn't have phones then. So I had to go and work out what John 3:16 was. Did not have a clue, but isn't it interesting? A man I admired so much, I had to go and research what John 3:16 was in the first place. And but you look back on that and you think, man, Jesus, he's lining me up well before I knew I was getting lined up. You know? And you think back, I've still got that race book. Yeah, still got it. And the other thing, that number four, trust the process. Like them three things, right, are important. But you've got to take some comfort in if you're doing the right things, the end result will come, although you might not see it. The day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. So you do the right thing today, plant an apple tree today, you're not eating apples today. You've got to nurture that apple tree until you get apples. So if you do the work, you'd know about this, eh? Do the work, the results will handle themselves, like the gym, isn't it? You do the work, the results will handle themselves, you know? So you've got to really trust the process, because in my journey, we'll call it just the last 17 years, it's much longer than that, but we'll call... I wouldn't be where I am today if I had not have joined this house, right? If this house, and I honestly feel that God lined me up and called me to this house and I stayed the course. And I owe so much, I honestly owe so much to this house. And but I have seen over the years, I've seen many people saved, I've seen lives changed, I've seen miracles, I've seen people's lives changed for the better. But I've also seen, and we've also seen people fall away. Lose faith. People return to the life that they so desperately wanted to leave.
Wow.
Because they didn't stick around. They left. And I look at them now and people come in and they might have been here for a season and they're back worse than they were before they even come. Or, you know, and I think, man, if you only just stuck about.
Come on.
You know, if all you had to do is keep turning up. You know, we can go. But if you stop coming, you can go back to the old world. Because quickly, you know, we can fall back into our old ways very, very quickly, which a congregation, a great church, staying connected to me is very, very important. Very important. And like Teague said, it's funny, I've got the same, we didn't do our notes together, but I've got, you know, if you stop coming, the reality is it's just not a priority. It's just simply that, it's just not a priority. So, and there's a couple of verses. Actually, I might try something here. When I read these verses out, we'll say, sounds like my house. You say, sounds like my house, okay? I'll read the verses out. You say, sounds like my house. Hebrews 10, 24 and 5. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. I like it. Keep, we're rolling now. Matthew 18, 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Colossians 3, 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. That sounds like my house. Them three verses, I just included them because... It sounds like my house. It's why we keep coming. It's so important to stay connected. My heart, my house has been a blessing of a series to me. It's helped me reflect upon my journey and my wife's journey. And I'm just so very grateful that, one, I'm so very grateful that Gateway exists. I'm so very grateful we're staying connected. We've got the kids up at Kids Church just rocking it. They're not going to have to overcome some stuff I had to overcome. Because they're getting it now. That's, you know, I didn't get that, but it's my responsibility to stand in the gap for what, to make sure they don't have to endure some of the things, you know, overcome. They're going to be, Jason actually, Pastor Jason actually says, may my ceiling be their floor. you know, and that is my goal.
Come on.
That's my goal. Yeah. So that's it. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand over to Pastor Chase. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this house, Lord. I really owe a lot to this house. Lord, and I just thank you for the will that you have, the desire, the heart you have for this house, the heart you have for your people and this city, Lord. And I just pray that we all get a greater revelation of who we really are and what we're really supposed to be and do. Amen. There he is.
Amen. You did good.
15 and 9 seconds, not bad.
Wow, that is so good.
15 minutes.
He is literally timing this.
I had to nail. Awesome. I was looking at the clock, and Teague's took 13. I thought, man, I got to trim mine.
Come on, let's give Tim and Teague's an awesome hand. Thank you, bro. Thank you, Teagan. I'll just invite the music team to come.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.